then from grace to grace. Man, what a beautiful thought, what a beautiful truth. God's grace is sufficient. Let's pray for just a moment. God, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you for the love we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope that's ours. We thank you for your presence today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is the deposit of what is to come. We thank you for the transformation, Lord, you are doing and you will do through your word, through your presence, through your power. And Lord, I pray today would be a day where you continue the good work you've started in all of us. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know that grace of salvation, they've never experienced the forgiveness of their sins, they're still trying to be a good person, God, I pray today you would convict them of their sin. And with that conviction, Lord, you always give the grace for repentance and restoration. So Lord, have your way in our hearts today. Do what only you can do, God, because we are in desperate need of you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the time when we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. So I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. And those of us that are left, if you'll take your Bibles and find the book of Jonah. We're walking through a series in the book of Jonah called Lessons from a Wayward Prophet. What do we learn about God, about humanity, and about us from this wayward prophet? The first thing I want to remind you of, because I think it is one of the most important things, is that Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a man of God. Jonah was a man that God had used prior to this. It's not the first time he had heard from God to say, go and tell someone something. It's not the first time God had spoken to Jonah and wanted to use Jonah for his kingdom. And it's a great reminder for me, a great encouragement for me, that sometimes God's people run. Sometimes people that love the Lord, sometimes people that have relied upon the Lord, sometimes people that are in a personal, intense, viable, beautiful relationship with God, rebel. It also tells us the heart of God that in that rebellion, He doesn't give up on us. And His desire is repentance and restoration. We see that in the life of Jonah. In 2 Kings chapter 14, we see where Jonah was used as a prophet. He is known in Israel and Judah as a prophet. He is known as a man of God, but yet God told him to do something that Jonah did not want to do because his heart did not understand the heart of God. He thought God was just for his people and against everybody else, especially the Assyrians. And he wanted to be used by God to speak to His people, but he didn't want to take the grace of God to these barbarians, these hateful God haters, these ones who worshiped many other gods, these ones who were cruel and were oppressing and trying to overthrow the Israelites. He did not want to see salvation come to the enemies of God. But we see the heart of God for the lost world. He's not just concerned and want repentance from His people. He wants that all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish, even the Ninevites. And so He called Jonah to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to re-preach all the sermons that I've done, but I just want to remind you where we are. He's called Jonah to go, and Jonah said, no, I don't want to take the gospel to them. And so he decides to flee in the opposite direction and jump on a ship to go to Tarshish. God allows him on that ship, and in the midst of this ship, in the midst of the travels, he brings up a storm to begin to discipline Jonah, trying to get his attention and turn him around. And as he's on this ship, the storm comes up, and the storm is in danger of being torn apart. There's a lot of other people that are in the midst of this trouble with him. And we're reminded that our sin does not affect just us. Our rebellion against God brings disaster on our families. It brings disaster up to our friends. It brings trouble to our acquaintances. Anyone that's on the same boat we're on is going to experience trouble because of your sin and my sin. And that's true in the church. There's no such thing as a sin that doesn't affect anybody else. Your sin affects every one of us. My sin affects every one of you. And we need to be reminded of that. That the trouble that sin brings isn't just for you. It's for everyone you care about and that cares about you. And so God is trying to get his attention. He's also trying to get the attention of the sailors. And the sailors are paying more attention than Jonah is. Jonah's in the very bottom part of the ship. It says in the most inner part of the ship, asleep. He'd rather do anything than repent. Rather do anything than go to Nineveh. So he's gotten as far away from God as he possibly can on this ship. And he's trying to just forget. He's just trying to block it out. He's just trying to say, it's okay. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go to Tarshish. And I'm going to have to do this. And he is going further and further into trouble and bringing more and more people into trouble with him as he ignores God's call to repentance. God continues. And so the men wake him up and say, how in the world can you be sleeping? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will save us. They've been praying to every god they can think of. They're just grabbing at straws, trying to figure out anything. When Jonah tells them, says, look, I know why this is happening. It's happening because of me. He takes responsibility for it, but he's not yet ready to repent for it. You've been there, hadn't you? Yeah, I know I'm doing wrong. I know this is a mess that I've made, but by golly, I'm going to fix it. And it just gets worse and worse. So rather than repent, Jonah'd rather die. So he says, look, guys, you want this storm to stop? Pick me up and throw me into the ocean. And it'll stop. So they said, God of Jonah, don't let innocent blood be on us. He said, throw him in the ocean. We're going to throw him in the ocean. That's the only way we can survive. So they pick him up, throw him in the ocean. The storm stops. And those men worship God. Now, it doesn't mean they were saved. It doesn't mean that they were converted at the time. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. But they saw God work and they knew it was God. So God got their attention even in the midst of the storm because of Jonah. So God was at work even then trying to get them to come and repent, trying to get them to acknowledge He is the one true God. God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in that fish for 3 days. Now, he was in that fish because he would rather die, but God had other plans. God says, look, I'm not done with you yet. But it's going to take me getting you to the depths of the earth. It's going to take me getting you to the deepest, darkest place before you're ready to cry out. So God, if you in chapter 2, you see the prayer of Jonah. And as he was at the fish took him to the depths of the sea, to the root of the mountains, to the deepest part of the earth, and all of the world was on top of him. He got him to the place where all the weight of life was on him. He recognized that he was in a place where he had no hope, no way of getting out of this. He was in such a mess, and the weight of the world, the weight of his rebellion, the weight of his sin was sitting right on top of him, and he felt it all, and God got him to the lowest point he could get him. And then he says, I remembered the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, those troubles that are so bad, those times that are so difficult, those hardships that you feel the weight of the world and you get to the point where you know there's nothing I can do and I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of where I am, but I don't know how to get out. There's one way. Remember the Lord and cry out. He says that I cried out and the Lord heard my prayer. And when he heard his prayer, he brought the fish back to the shore. The fish vomited Jonah out on the seashore and God commissioned him a second time. We reminded you from that even though we are wayward, even though we make a mess, even though we rebel and run from God, even though we absolutely destroy our life and our relationships, God wants to restore us. That when we are wayward, His punishment, His discipline is so that we will repent. And when we repent, His goal is restoration. And church, that needs to be us. When we have a brother or sister in Christ that's wayward, a brother and sister in Christ that is in absolute rebellion, the goal, the hope, is that they will repent and then they will be restored, and we need to be in the restoration business. Because God's not done with them yet. Just like He wasn't done with Jonah. And He calls Jonah a second time, and He says, look, I want you to go to the people of Nineveh, and I want you to tell them what I have for you to tell them. And He restores his purpose. He puts him back into service. He doesn't say, okay, you've messed up so bad, I can't use you no more. He says, no, now let's go and let's do what I said you were supposed to do in the first place. His plans for Jonah didn't change, and His plans for you haven't changed either. Plans for your loved one hasn't changed either. Plans for your family member hasn't changed either. They may be in rebellion. They may be in the middle of the mess. They may not have cried out yet, but when they do, they will be restored. And they will still be useful to the kingdom. And we need to remember that. Well, today we're going to look at what happened when he was obedient. Beginning in chapter 3, we're going to read down through the bottom of chapter 3, those 10 verses. Would stand with him as read, and we'll look at what happens when we are faithful. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to the proclamation which I'm about to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. This is where we'll pick up for today. Then the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on ashes. He issued a proclamation and said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. Both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way, from the violence that which is in his hand. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not be perished, or we will not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which He had declared He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. You may be seated. Again, we see the heart of God in Jonah's world, in Jonah's mind, and in Jonah's heart. He saw the world as us and them. And for way too long in the church, that's been the way it's been with us. It's us and them. God's for us, God's against them. God loves us, God hates them. God wants to use us, God wants to destroy them. But here we see the truth of God's heart. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. He gives him a very simple message. He says, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. We talked about last week how some things were happening in nature. There was a great famine going on at that time. Some historians, extra-biblical historians, have talked about in that area there was a great famine happening. So the people of Nineveh were getting restless, and they were thinking the gods were angry at them, just like the sailors. There was a great eclipse that took place, according to historians, around that same time. So it was getting them spiritually thinking and wondering and thinking about spiritual things. And okay, is this a bad omen or a good omen? We don't know, but what are the gods doing? Why is all this happening? And so in the midst of this spiritual awakening, in the midst of these spiritual questions, in the midst of this spiritual hunger, God sends Jonah with a very simple message. The simplest of all messages. 40 days from now, God's going to wipe you guys out. Man. It grabbed their heart. They were already wondering. They were already searching. They were already looking. God was already at work drawing them to Him. And here comes Jonah with a very simple message. Yet 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And we need to remember, we have no clue how God's at work in the lives and the circumstances of people. And we don't have to have great theological answers. We don't have to have this great oratory and this great message that we're preaching, and we've got all our points and we got our poems and we've got everything down and we've got our delivery and we've got all this stuff. No, we just need to go with the simple gospel. Your sin has got you at odds with God. God wants to deal with your sin. That's your big problem. Problem bigger than you. And so he sent his son Jesus to die so that you could be forgiven of your sins and experience a relationship with the creator of the world. And it's just simple. We make it harder than it should be. God's at work. The Holy Spirit is moving in people's lives. He's working in their circumstances to get them to asking questions. Man, oftentimes today we think the world is not doesn't care anything about God or doesn't care anything about spiritual things. Man, today people are more spiritually minded than they've been in years. Millennials are very spiritually minded. We've got to be just willing to go with a simple gospel. Just go be willing to tell them and point them to Jesus. Tell them the truth. Hey, hell is real, heaven is real, and sin's the problem. And this is how you can deal with that. Jonah went with a very simple message. And when they heard it, because of how God had been at work in their circumstances, because how God had been working before Jonah ever got there, says that from the smallest to the greatest, from the poorest to the richest, heard the message. Says when they heard this message, they declared a fast. That is an outward expression of mourning. It says that they took off their robes, and even the king took off his robes, his purple robes that identified royalty, and he put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. An outward expression, a declaration of mourning and repentance. What's our sackcloth and ashes today? It's a broken and contrite heart. It's acknowledging. It's agreeing with God. It's confessing our sin. You know what confession is? Confession is not telling something they don't already know. Confession is simply agreeing with the truth. I confess. I killed him. Truth is, you did it. I confess. I stole that money. Yeah, the truth is, you did it. I confess, I'm a sinner. Not telling anybody anything they don't already know. You're surely not telling God anything he doesn't already know. But it's confession. It's agreeing with the truth and being broken about it. I want this to change about me. I'm a sinner and I want to be different. So the outward expression of brokenness, the outward expression of repentance. And so the king, he declared, look, I want everyone from the greatest to the smallest. I want every animal from your camels to your donkeys to your horses to your flocks, your sheep, your goats. Don't feed them anything. Everybody is to go on a fast. Every living, breathing thing is to fast and to wear sackcloth and ashes. He says, look, we want to declare, we want to cry out to this God. We want to be broken, but not only declare it, not only put on sackcloth and ashes, but there's another part of it. What did it say next? To turn away from the evil and the violence in your hands. See, confession is only part of repentance. Some people will tell you, yeah, I'm a sinner and I know it, but I got no desire to change. I've had people actually tell me, yeah, I'm going to hell and I know it. I just accepted it. Yeah, I know I'm a jerk. That's just the way I am and I ain't going to change. So they confess. They agree with the truth. They have no problem agreeing with the truth. What they have a problem with is surrendering lordship of their life. Living differently. So, as these people heard this message, they confessed, but then they repented. Said, look, turn away from the wickedness. Turn away from the violence that's in your... Whatever you're planning that's wrong and you know is wrong, stop it. Don't do it. Don't follow through on that inclination of your heart. Don't follow through on the desires of your heart. You start doing what you know is right. You start surrendering to what you know is the truth and to what is right. That's the same thing with us. It's very simple. People talk about, well, I got to fix my life before I get saved. I got to do all. No, you just simply confess your sins and then you say, okay, God, show me what's right. That's what I want to do. Doesn't mean you're perfect at it from the start. But you've surrendered your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You've surrendered your life to the authority of God. And that's what they were doing. They were the authority over their lives. The king was the authority over their life. Their army gave them authority to do whatever they wanted to do. Their gods, made up in their own minds and their own hearts, gave them authority to do what they wanted to do. But when they were confronted with the truth, when they were confronted with the message of God, they repented, they confessed, and they repented and said, look, we want to do what your God says we're supposed to do. And they began to put away their wickedness. They began to put away their evil and their violence. And there was this great change. Now, look at the heart of God. When we confess and repent, what happens to the heart of God? Verse 10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which He had declared He would bring upon them. And He did not do it. Jesus in John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, right after John 3:16, said, for the Son didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but came that the world might be saved through Him. Because he who does not believe in Him is condemned already. So see, Jonah just simply came and pronounced that you're already under condemnation. This is where you are. You are condemned. He didn't have to specify their sin. He didn't have to go through a laundry list of how bad they were and how horrible they were. He simply told them the truth. You are under condemnation from God. But he knew, and you'll see in just a minute, he knew the heart of God. That's the whole reason he didn't want to come. Because he knew that God was a forgiving God. When people confess and repent, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not just a New Testament truth. And he didn't want them to be saved. He didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't like the Assyrians. They were enemies of God's people. They were enemies of God. And he wanted them to be destroyed, not to be saved. But God was trying to teach Jonah his heart. And we need to be reminded today of the heart of God. God's desire for the worst people that you can think of, the worst people that you know, for ISIS, for Muslims, for homosexuals, for the transsexuals, for whoever, the heart of God is confession and repentance and restoration. He wants to forgive. And that needs to be our heart too. Later on, Jesus said that, he told the parable of the shepherd. He says, look, any shepherd that has 100 sheep and he loses one, will he not leave the 99 and go after the one? He says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. The heart of God is to see people confess and repent, to put themselves under His authority, experience His love and His grace, and to have His wrath removed. God does not want to destroy the wicked. He wants them to repent. Now, His justice and His holiness, when they reject repentance, when they reject His grace, when they reject His salvation, His condemnation stays. And they experience His wrath that's already on them. On judgment day, all they will see is the wrath of God. That's what hell is. It's the absence of God's love and nothing but God's wrath. Because they've rejected their only means of salvation in Jesus Christ. But the heart of God, the desire of God, is that none would perish. And Jonah needed to see that. Jonah needed to understand. He was a man of God. He was a man used by God. But yet he still did not understand the heart of God. He was holding on to some bigotry and some bias and some hatred towards people and some spiritual pride that says, hey, I'm a prophet of God's people and you guys are the enemy of God and God's going to get you. God wanted to forgive. God wants to forgive you. God wants to forgive that wayward, rebellious person that you know. And He wants to use you to go, to speak the truth in love, to walk through life with them, to get in the midst of them and say, hey, there's a way. There's a way out of this. And His name is Jesus. So Jonah goes and he preaches this simple sermon. Kind of reminds me of Billy Graham. That fabulous evangelist, man used by God, millions saved under his ministry. But I'm just going to tell you, he was not an impressive speaker. Man, I've heard way better communicators than Billy Graham. He never had really flowery messages. He didn't have any how you can fix this and all, very simple, the most basic of all messages. He preached it over and over and over again. You're a sinner. God's holy. Jesus came to save you. Very simple. But because God was at work in the circumstances and the hearts of people, when He preached that simple, when He was faithful to just go and in love preach the truth, God drew people to Christ through Him. And see, that's true about you and me. Man, we don't need all these steps to evangelism. We don't need all these evangelistic programs. Like a pastor once said, we've got evangelistic programs because we just won't go tell the gospel. It's a simple message. Don't make it difficult. Just go and in love, share the heart of God, the truth of their situation. The remedy is Jesus. And God wants to forgive. And Jonah needed to know that there was no one outside the grace of God. There's no one excluded from the salvation of God. There was no one that was too far gone, too bad, too messed up, too evil that God didn't want to save them. And church, we need to hear that today too. There's nobody too far gone. There's nobody too messed up. There's nobody too evil that God doesn't want to forgive, that God doesn't want to save, that God doesn't love and wants to remove His wrath if they will just confess and repent, put themselves under His authority. The gospel is for everyone. I want to ask you, who's the one that you know that needs to hear the gospel? Maybe it's you. And maybe you're sitting here and you've been thinking and you know somebody and you've been experienced with someone and you've got somebody maybe in your family, at work, or just in your sphere of friends that maybe you're not too close with, but man, they are messed up. God loves them. God wants to forgive them. God wants them to be His child. God wants to restore them to where He intended them to be in a right relationship with Him. Maybe He's telling you, He's put them on your heart so you can just love them and tell them the truth in love. Just simple stuff. Just the truth. God loves them, but their sin is keeping them away from them. Maybe it's you. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've wandered. Maybe you've been the rebellious child. And you've been running. And you think, man, I've messed up too bad. Ain't no way. God's desire is repentance and restoration. And putting you right back on the path to usefulness, to walking with Him. That's God's heart. Let's don't give up on people. Don't give up on yourself. God hasn't. Let's stand.